we enter the low budget and high fun mind of director Shinpei Hayashiya once more for new Monster MASH that is separate from their Raigo world of films, though with many of the same actors. Can a short and sweet SRS release keep us happy while we wait for more Japanese kaiju films? Or will this project be unable to meet the insanity of its prior trilogy? Find out along with us this week. This is Kaiju vs. History, War of the Ninja Monsters, Jaron vs. Gaara.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your shinobi neighbor guarding the ancient shrine, Miles, and joining me is an example of simple pseudomation and silly CGI, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, they have access to After Effects, and they're not afraid to show the same explosion CGI. Jeez. 10 times in a row, just layering them on top of each other. I'm doing pretty good. This is, you know, we talked last about Shinpei Hayashiya with Raigo versus Oga War of the God Monsters, which was like 2019 or 2020 when it was released over here. And I think, I don't remember what we scored it, but I think both of our opinions was it was a bit of a cash grab.
I'm pretty sure I didn't love it.
The podcast final was a, oh, we both gave it a 5 out of 10. So 5 out of 10 for God. Oh, it's God Raiga versus King Oga. Great title. It was kind of not really mock-busting Godzilla King of the Monsters, but did come out a week before Godzilla King of the Monsters in Japan. So kind of similar. And this movie harkens back to that a little bit, but this is a separate series from the Raiga trilogy, from the same director, and using, I think, a lot of the same tips and tricks and film ideas. It is a humorous movie, but I wouldn't say that it's my style of humor. I kind of liked his humor in Raiga and the first Raigo movie a little bit, but yeah, it's a little too slapsticky in this time around.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Flapsticky is the word I would say. But are you ready to talk about, gosh, such a long title?
Yeah.
War of the Ninja Monsters.
What's the title, Patrick?
War of the Ninja Monsters. Jaron versus Gaara. Yeah, not much to say about it. The Japanese title, Shinobu Kimono Osinki Hebi Ryu Jaron Tai Hai Ra Gaara, is quite a mouthful, and it's very stylized. It uses, I think, two different kinds of kanji for the written letters for the title and the monsters. The monsters are written in like a more poetic version of the written Japanese language, because it's more just like the sounds of Ja-O-Ron and Gao-O-Ra. But not many other alternative titles. In its direct translation, though, from Japan, it is Ninja Beast War Chronicles. Ninja Beasts, or, you know, maybe Chronicles could be a translation of scrolls, which is indeed how they're kind of summoned, the powers of the kaiju in this. What do you think about this movie, huh? Do I have this on my shelf? Did I buy this from SRS? I see Yuzu up there, but I'm not sure if I have. I must have at some point, because I like all of those. I'm so worried that we're not going to get a Tubi release of the film, but of course we got a Tubi release. I do have Jaron versus Gaara up there. Why am I not watching these special features that are as long as the movie itself?
Yeah, I appreciate that about, you know, them. At the same time, this movie, I don't know. Here's the thing about a movie like this. I always appreciate the independent effort, and certainly that more of a effort went into making this than into making a Notzilla or a Zillafoot or something to that effect, right? But
I don't know, man. Bite your tongue. I think Notzilla was a little low.
I know you
do.
I think that thing sucks shit. I'm sorry.
Whoa!
That movie, I hated it. But, you know, I was talking to Krista about this because she was asking what I was watching and how it was. And I was like, if a friend of mine said, hey, I made this, check it out. And I'd be like, hey, this is pretty cool. But if I went to the theater and paid for a ticket and was eating my overpriced popcorn while watching this movie, I would be pretty upset.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't care about money anymore. It is the time of going to the movie theater and watching the movie and then getting back.
I'm going to send you my Venmo if you don't care about money anymore.
Well, even just watching it on your couch, because it is on Tubi right now.
Yes.
And it is less than an hour. It feels like you are losing time watching this film.
It does.
And this is coming from two of the biggest kaiju fans on the planet. And I'm a fan of Shinpei Hayashiya, I will say. I have a Rego shirt.
Yeah, I liked some of his ideas. I mean, I wasn't as hot on the Rego trilogy. But this, I don't think is up to snuff even for him. Like, I don't mind the comedic approach. And in fact, this starts off like we were getting a Minoru Kawasaki film. And I was like, okay, because you have these two guys who work for, I guess, a gym. Like, it feels like it's they work for average Joes, you know?
Yeah.
And
I could read the back of the DVD if you'd like,
yeah,
from
if
SRS.
You want to. Yeah, if you want.
Two men tired from work visit the town of Chichibu to enjoy their favorite hobby, exploring caves, also known as spelunking. But little do they know, the town has been secretly protected by the descendants of the righteous shinobi ninja since the Sengoku period. The two unlucky friends accidentally break a spell that awakens two colossal beasts, Jaren and Gaura. The area's rival clans manipulate them into a fierce battle, bringing chaos to the area. But a righteous female ninja steps up, wanting to stop the destruction and restore the seal. Can she defeat the evil ninjas that stand in her way before Chichibu is completely destroyed by the two kaiju? Watching this, that is hard to follow along, even with that very simple plot.
But that's even wildly inaccurate, because first of all, it's only the hobby of one of the guys. The other one says, hey, why don't you come out with me for one of my hobbies? And the other guy jokes, not knowing that, yeah, he actually likes to go to the caves.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even that they're tired from work. They're just like, all right, well, I'm going to go do this. You want to come with?
Yeah, and then, I mean, maybe a little the people in their workplace are a little stressed out, I guess.
Sure, but
they're losing money. They just go.
And then one of them makes the biggest rice ball I've seen in quite some time. A comically large rice ball, which looked delicious.
For the trip.
Okay, yeah. I won't even need dinner after this. I will say, I thought the idea was pretty decent. I like this idea of, like, okay, these two guys accidentally unleash or break a protection spell, and they're both turned into rivaling monsters. Cool idea. You have rivaling clans who are wanting to influence each of the monsters because there's been this long-term war between these two clans. Also a cool idea on paper. The execution of which is what makes everything super questionable.
We talked about this with God Rego versus King Oga, whatever the rest of that title is. He made that movie, it feels like, with not just like fundraised funds, which I believe this movie had some of, but like local government funds because that movie had like a historic district of Tokyo that was the main location, shooting location for the film. This movie is shot in Chichibu, which is a city in Saitama Prefecture in Japan, about 20, 30 miles somewhere away from Tokyo. But it is very remote, very mountainous. It's kind of like nestled in the central part of the main island of Japan along the Arakawa River, which I think flows out to Tokyo Bay. It's about as large as my city. So it's like 60,000 people. And we do get some beautiful shots of the locale. They are out and about filming this movie and using some of the local shrines and temples and things, which I appreciate. But it definitely feels like Shinpei Hashia was paid to, you know, film there and make it look very good. And that was one of the reasons for making the film. Not that that's bad or anything, but that's what this feels like, a bit of an advertisement for the region where, you know, tourism is a major part of the local economy. The ninja stuff, I don't know the history of the region that well. I don't think there were rival ninja clans in the region. I don't think it was a very large town until post-World War II, to be honest. I think it was kind of like a mining town before then. Yeah. What else do you want to talk about? I did a little bit of research in the town, Miles. What else do you want to talk about with the movie? Any cast you want to point out or crew?
Well, not really.
There's a couple, because we do have, and it's something with a lot of these lower budget, some say micro budget films, they do get cast and crew from classic kaiju era films.
Yes.
From both Godzilla and Gamera. And this movie has a Godzilla-like analog in the form of Geron, who's the taller, you know, bipedal creature, mm-hmm. who was the, gosh, do I have the suit actor in front of me? Well, let me start with Gaara, who is suit acted by Mizuho Yoshida, who I believe was a Gamera suit actor as well in the Heisei period.
Makes sense, because, I mean, the giant turtle.
He's actually in a couple kaiju movies, not Gamera. I have that backed up. He was Degara in Rebirth of Mothra 2.
Oh, okay.
And played Rego in King of the Sea Monsters, so the second Rego film. Geron is suit acted by Akira Ohashi, who also has done several Ultraman roles, as well as he was a stunt actor. And I think most recently on the podcast, he did mocap for the large mammoth Nezra in Nezra 1964. So he's in another one of these kind of low budget films, and did suit action for Gamera 3 and Gamera 2, Attack of Legion, Revenge of Iris. So these are a couple of Heisei kind of classic actors. They do get a good amount of stuff to do. You know, it's one of the things that bum me out the most about Hoshi 35 is we don't get a lot of the suit and the suit acting. What do you think about the two kaiju in this movie, Miles? Where do these fall for you as suitimations?
I wish they were suitimated a little bit better, because I think the actual general design of them is pretty neat. I mean, yeah. One obviously is very Gamera, but it's still a good looking suit.
Yeah, I like that there are like three back spikes, and he's kind of walked over like a tank. And he is suitimated very similar to Oga in the Ragu series. So he's quadrupedal and a little hunched down, but they've got him set up. There's not an actor in the head. I think the head is on a arm puppetry, which is how Mizuho Yoshida worked it. And I like it has kind of like what looks like cat eyes or large glass eye fixtures on the back turtle shell area. It looks different. It looks like someone put a good amount of thought into the design, which I appreciate. Definitely looks a lot better than Oga. I guess I'll have to say that.
Oh, and for sure.
What about Geron? What do you think of the Godzilla-like creature here?
He's fine.
Okay, just fine.
Yeah, like, I mean, I thought he was, I mean, certainly not an awful design, but not one that I'm super favorable over.
The thing is, when you don't have too much like movement in the head.
Right.
If you're like jiggling it around, it does look a little silly. I will say the rest of the suit looked, I think, pretty darn good.
It's not a bad looking suit. I just thought the design itself, like, because especially if you look up the creature, you get all these other designs of like how like they kind of saw it, especially if you look up the SRS like cover.
Yeah. I was about to say, I really do enjoy the art that they've put out for this. Never looks as epic as it does in the poster art.
No, and the thing is, the poster art looks a lot more Godzilla than the actual suit we see on screen.
A little more crocodilian.
Yes, and again, it's not an awful suit. It's a little generic, but it's not bad. But again, like, having a cool design idea is just kind of like the first step. Like, mm-hmm. And that's kind of the problem for me, is like, we don't really get to see these kaiju do anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're fighting at each other. They're firing energy blasts kind of at one another with the bad CGI that we said before. I will say, yeah, maybe some of the special effects I actually did appreciate more in Rego versus Oga. I don't know. Something about how easily digital effects can be kind of layered on top of film these days, I think, have made it look a little more chintzy, a little more fake. Mm-hmm. Not that they had full scale explosions or anything on the set of Rego and Oga. Yeah, I will say, I think, I don't know, I appreciated the designs. I definitely appreciated they did as much as they did with the suits. And yeah, it's only like a 50 minute long movie. So they transform into the beast at like minute 25, or they supersize and start the transformation into the monsters. Shinpei Hashia wrote, directed, and produced this film. And I think he did a good job. The actors that they have in this film do feel a little community theater. Some of them have worked with Shinpei Hashia before, so he's got his, you know, crew here. He's always got I love the, I don't have the actor's name in front of me, the ninja with the eye patch. A lot of fun. He hams it up in a good way. I think a way that is complimentary to the comedy stylings of Hayashiya. Yeah, I will say, I mean, this feels weird coming out in 2024. It seems like, you know, this is what, less than 6 months or so after Godzilla Minus One. Not saying like we need to compare these two movies, but there's a pretty big dip in quality between, I wouldn't even say a high budget film, but like a well budgeted film like Godzilla Minus One and this one, which is ultra, ultra low budget. Yeah, I mean, it was made to be silly. It was made to be fast. It feels like it was made to be shown at local film festivals and that kind of thing. You know, it is funny that SRS Cinema just has a pipeline to get these printed into DVD and Blu-rays and in people's minds and hands. I think this is a perfect watch for Tubi. This is a great home for War of the Ninja Monsters. It is one of those things, is like, if you didn't know about Shinpei Hashia and you watch this movie, you'd be like, how was this made? Where was this made? What? Why was this made?
Yeah.
I really like towards
even
the end.
Even if you do know Shinpei Hashia, you're still kind of like, at this point in your career, why?
Yeah, pretty low score on IMDb. It's got a 4 out of 10, and it does have a good amount of folks rating it, but the only, I think, written review is from someone who's titled their review, "Wow, this is terrible." I'm not going to read, but yeah, they rated it a 1 out of 10. But like I said, the average score, 4 out of 10 on Letterboxd. Unfortunately, it doesn't have enough ratings, I don't think, to rate. There's less than 100. So I think it's kind of closer to, well, it looks like it's about 4 stars average. Maybe a little bit higher. But what about you, Miles? Where do you rate this movie? Oh, we're talking about our own personal enjoyment and sitting down to watch it.
Yeah. So even as someone familiar with his work, and kind of knowing what to go to expect going in, I still was pretty underwhelmed. I liked the initial conceit, and I actually liked the two friend actors, the guys who get turned into kaiju. I thought they were pretty fun.
Yeah.
And there is some, like, you can tell there's a very local theater vibe to this one. It is very, and as a love letter to a town, I can see why if this was a local film festival, while people would be kind of amped to see it, but that's where it should have stayed.
You don't think it should have a Blu-ray that's in my hands right now, Miles?
I'm not saying it shouldn't have a Blu-ray that's in your hands right now, but maybe not a massively, I mean, I say that, but I'm also like, I'm in favor of like everything being available like this. So yes, I'm there should be a Blu-ray in your hands right now. At the same time, maybe there should be a better Blu-ray in your hands.
Like, I was about to say, I love the Rego and Oga trilogy that they put out. That's got,
I know you do. And I wish movies. I did, but I, well, for
three movies in one, it's a great deal.
as far as the release, yes. If you're gonna purchase that, getting all three, you know, if you're gonna torture yourself, might as well just go whole hog.
No, this is not worth owning on Blu-ray. It is worth watching on Tubi for free.
Personal enjoyment. I did find this really boring, to be frank, and not a fun watch, and weirdly convoluted for something that had a pretty simple idea. So I gotta go 4 out of 10 here. This is not great, but like it is watchable. So there is that. what about you?
I think I'm right there with you. 4 out of 10. I think it does steer into somehow less watchable than God Rego versus King Oga. I've said that title like 18 times now. I keep getting it wrong, but Rego versus Oga in a lot of ways. That movie felt really cobbled together because I think they filmed part of it and then like waited a long time to edit it. This one feels like at least more of a complete project, but also kind of a rushed one, kind of one that doesn't feel like they spent as much time on it in a bad way. So for personal enjoyment, a 4 out of 10, I'm going probably the same for the technical aspects, pretty low. Story-wise, it really kind of rushes through, I think, to get to the conflict and the action. And it doesn't have anything in the way of characters for you to latch onto. I really do like our female ninja heroine. And there's a few shots of her I thought were great in the film. There's one where she's like literally running through the streets of Chichibu and filming herself with like a GoPro on a stick. I was like, okay, wow, this is like the first action shot, like actual action shot we've seen in a Shinpei Hayashiya film. It doesn't raise this film's stock that much. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 10 for its technical aspects. Oh, what about you, Miles?
For the technical, I'm staying the same. While I do think that the actors are clearly having fun and the initial suit designs are pretty decent, all the other effects, I mean, look, if you can't afford something, I'm going to give you a little bit of a pass. But like, if you have a nonsensical script that it just feels like community theater, it's going to hurt your movie quite a bit. And I mean, there was one bit where one of the monsters seems to be like turning over like an overpass, but you could tell it was like a superimposed table or something that looked really funny. Yeah. I watch a lot of wrestling, so I know that table. But so yeah, I can't go any higher than my personal enjoyment. So it's going to be a 4 out of 10. I think this is not a great script. It has some good ideas, and the monster designs aren't bad. If extremely derivative, like that's the one thing is like, yeah, these suits look pretty good, but also, I mean, it's Gamera and Godzilla. Let's
yeah, I mean, and that's why for its importance, I am giving it a 5 out of 10. I'm giving it a little bit higher there. I think it's moderately insightful as a comedy, as a low budget film like this, and it actually has some interesting scenes of destruction. I'm not sure how they achieved some of them, but it is cool to get Godzilla analog, Gamera analog, and have a reason for them to show up on screen. I think the friends transforming into these kaiju is a bit convoluted for the story. But yeah, I, you know, just talking myself into it, I don't four on a its importance here is kind of like a soulish cash grab, which I feel like is more apt for his prior film, whereas this one just feels like a fun little romp, you know. What about you, Miles, for its importance?
I'm sticking with my fours.
Really move the needle here on this one, but yeah, I mean we've talked about them a good deal, but that brings us both to a basically a 4 out of 10 for War of the Ninja Monsters, Jaren versus Gaara. I think it's a skip for a lot of folks out there. It is very easy to find right now on Tubi, and it is less than an hour. Like I said, it's about 50 minutes with the credits. And I don't know if you made it through the credits, but it has a good amount of fun animation and behind the scenes stuff for you to enjoy. But yeah, this feels like an hour wasted when you get into it. It's a shame because I was actually really looking forward to this one from Shinpei Hayashiya. That's going to do it. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to talk about all things kaiju online?
Well, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can post to us on Blue Sky at Kaiju Versus History. You can visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. You can rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account, Kaiju Versus History, to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. You can also go to our sister podcast, Cosmic Crit's website, cosmiccrit.com. Click on that Discord link, and there is a Kaiju Versus History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I and our friends in real time about any kaiju thing you want to. I usually post a bunch of toys and comics and previews of stuff coming out. Recently, I've been posting more Dancing Godzilla stuff that's being released, which I'm very excited about.
I think we talked about it when the original three came out, but the Turtles and Godzilla crossover, not only the comic books, but in toy form, we've got Rodan Raphael, Michelangelo Ghidorah, which I don't like that.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
But Godzilla Leonardo is actually a toy that I would get from this set. But they recently talked about and showed off Splinter Mechagodzilla, King Caesar.
Shredder Mechagodzilla, Splinter King Caesar.
Splinter King Caesar, yes. And Donatello is a Jet Jaguar, which I thought was a pretty cool pick for him.
All three of those are really, really great and make the other three look less great.
Yeah, which is, I think, the wings on them.
Yeah.
Not looking great, but honestly, Leonardo as Godzilla looks awesome.
That one's not bad, and Raphael's Rodan's okay, but the Ghidorah Michelangelo is an odd choice.
It's weird. It's right. It's just weird. I would have preferred Mecha Godzilla be Michelangelo. Mecha Michelangelo Godzilla, and then have Shredder be some form of King Ghidorah. Three-headed Shredder.
According to the designs of the little chibi ones, we've got a Hedera Krang, which is a inspired choice.
That's weird.
It looks like a Gigan Bebop, and is that Baragon Rocksteady?
I forgot. Yes, and or maybe even Destroya. Yeah.
Oh, it could be Destoroyah. And then April is Mothra, which is...
Yeah, I kind of want them to make that.
Of course, the one lady.
Yeah. Right, so yeah, find us. We do talk about toys a good deal over there. Upcoming and what have you.
What are we doing next week, buddy?
All right, well, thank you, Miles. We're going to catch you next time when we return to a classic kaiju series now in film form. We've got the star of Japan's own Superman style series taking the animated center stage, and we ask the question, can a Netflix original with some of the best CGI animation available, will it be enough to elevate a new take on this classic kaiju tokusatsu series? Find out along with us and tune in for History versus Ultraman Rising. Bah, 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 bah.